Hello everyone and welcome to our place sharing series. Today we're going to have another interview and I am pleased to introduce you to today's guest, Pastor Daishawn Mills. He is a pastor of a church planting team in Charlotte, North Carolina, as well as the National Coordinator of Generations Ministries. It's great to have you here with us, Daishawn.
Oh, it's great to be here, Kara. Thank you.
Of course. Well, and today I'm excited. We're going to be exploring place sharing a little bit more from the practical perspective. How do we participate in place sharing? What does it look like to really live this out and put flesh on it? So I want to start with maybe a little bit of a basic kind of question. But if you were to explain, what does place sharing mean? What does it look like to a 10-year-old? How would you do that?
Sure. Well, we're Trinitarians. So, of course, I have to start with Jesus. Mm. Jesus, because of who he is and how he loves us and who he made us to be, we can have good relationships with each other, right? And if I want to follow Jesus, I want to relate to people like Jesus did. And Jesus had a very special relationship with humanity. It wasn't just getting to know us from afar or admiring us from a distance. He came to us. He became part of humanity. He shared our place. And so that's kind of what place sharing is, when I have a relationship with a person where I try the best I can to understand their perspective and see the world as they do, where I try to feel what they feel, because a 10-year-old wouldn't understand empathy, right? So I try to put myself in their place and feel what they feel. And I share joys and sorrows with that person. And then this concept goes a step further to where when my neighbor, when the person I'm place sharing with is harmed or if they're mistreated, I share in that as well. I become their advocate. I share their situation, and I'm not okay until they're okay. Mm-hmm. Place sharing goes beyond just a nice cordial relationship. It says, unless you're doing well, unless you have what you need, I'm not going to be happy. I'm not going to rest. I'm going to advocate for you to have what you need. And so it's kind of how I would explain play sharing.
Yeah, kind of like saying, oh, I'm on their team. The way Jesus, becoming human, said, well, I'm on their team.
Absolutely. And he tied his fate in with humanity's fate. And similarly, when you play share, you tie your fate, you tie yourself to that other person.
Yeah, that's excellent. That's excellent. And so, you know, I'm wondering in your own journey, how have you developed a posture of place sharing? And as you've done that, maybe what mindsets or practices, habits have you maybe had to allow God to transform a little bit to become a better place sharer?
Yeah. Well, for me, it started when I had been reading the Good Samaritan story, and God showed me something I had not seen before. This is in Luke chapter 10, where this interchange with this expert of the law that Jesus has with this man, he asked Jesus a question, who is my neighbor? And then at the end, Jesus tells this incredible, revolutionary, radical story about a Good Samaritan. And at the end, Jesus says, which one of these do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell among thieves? So the expert in the law, he assumed his own neighborliness. He assumed that he was a good person. He assumed that he was treating people fairly. And he wanted to know which people deserved it, right? Which to extend that neighborliness to. He put himself in the center. And saw, okay, who should I build a relationship with, right? He already started to draw circles around the people who are in the group and out of the group, right? And so Jesus smashes that at the end, and he puts the focus on the man who's in need of a neighbor. So I can't judge neighbor for myself. I can only try my best to live as a neighbor and pray that when people see me, especially those in need of a neighbor, they see a neighbor in me. And even further than that, I want them to see Jesus. I want them to see something of Christ in me, right? So when I started to realize that, place sharing took on a different form, because I can't decide for myself who's neighbor. I can't say, I like folks of a certain political affiliation or a certain skin tone or who make a certain amount of money or live in a certain neighborhood or who have certain jobs. I can't decide that, right? I have to be neighbor to whoever the Holy Spirit draws into my path. So I had to adopt a posture of place sharing with everyone. And do I do that perfectly? Absolutely not. And the big caveat on everything is that I'm learning how to place share.
Yeah.
I think we all are. And I think it's a lifelong process to learn how to place share. And once I started to see what God was saying about neighbor, I had to confront the truth that I, like all human beings, love to otherize. I love to point to a certain group and say that they're different from me, right? We just love to draw circles and put people into categories. And I had to confront that in me, that I do that, and that there are certain people that I have decided that I don't want to be a neighbor to, that I don't want to play share with. And I have to repent of that. And it's a daily repentance, right? It's a daily repentance. But I think a mindset that is helpful. So those are mindsets that I had, things I had to change to get me to this point. But what mindsets I feel are helpful are seeing us as intimately connected to every other human being. There's an African term. It's different in certain languages and it's different in certain nations, but this concept of Ubuntu, that I am because we are, there's this collectivity to the existence of humanity that I think in the Western world, we've kind of lost touch with that. And I think one of the ways in which we can, one of the mindsets that can help us be play share is to realize we are already connected with everyone. And the other one, and the more important one, that Jesus is already in the world. He's working in the life of every human being. So what I'm actually doing is I'm participating in the relationship that Jesus has with another person. Because if left to myself, I can't really rightly connect and relate to anybody. Right? Left to my own devices, I'll be self-focused, I'll be selfish, I will try to have ulterior motives. But when I put the focus on Christ and say, I want to participate in the relationship Jesus is having with my neighbor, it's going to change my focus and change how I engage with that person.
Yeah. No, thank you for sharing that. And what I love about what you shared is two things. This idea that it's not me just choosing when to turn on and turn off. Well, I'm deciding to play share now or deciding.
Yeah.
It's less of an action necessarily and more of this posture. How do I move through the world?
Yes.
And the second idea of what you were just saying of this connectivity and participating in Jesus's relationship with all of his people, it's kind of coming back to that idea of a team. It's not that we're choosing teams, it's that Jesus has chosen his
Amen.
Team.
Yes.
And that he's chosen humanity as his team. That's and so right. we've got our teammates.
That's right.
And so it's learning how to be on Team Jesus.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
And
That's
and
right.
learning how to be in that kind of relationship that he's already created. He's already working within, but it's in him
That's right.
that these things are possible. It's in him that we're able to relate in this way because of what he's done and who he is.
That's right. Yeah. And these encounters can help him be more clear to me, right?
Yeah.
Like I can see Jesus as I encounter people because I'm seeing how he's loving this person and how he's working in their life. And I'm looking to participate in that. And that person's doing the same for me because I need that too, right? It's not just a one-way street. Yeah.
I think it's really important. Yeah, and there's even in that, I like how you say that, there's this idea that we have in, you know, some people who talk about place sharing that when I meet you, that's when we become more ourselves and
that's
when
right.
we get to know who God is more because we're meeting God
that's
in the
right.
other and who God is in you is different than who God is in me.
That's
so
right.
I learned something different
that's
about
right.
who he is.
That's right, that's right.
Yeah.
I think it goes way back to what it means to be human, right? I mean, humanity is, you get diversity, no matter what kind of population you find. You're gonna see, we call them mutations, but I think that's just a part of who God is. Even when you have a homogeneous gene pool, you're gonna see diversity, right? God loves variety. And from the beginning, we're supposed to be a diversity and unity, right? It's God's desire for humanity to be one. So every encounter I have, especially with a person who's different from me, mm-hmm. makes me more human.
Yeah.
Right? Makes me have more of a perspective. It helps me to see more, to see more clearly, to see myself, to see mm-hmm. others, right? I become more humanized as I move from relationship to relationship, as I place share by the leading of the Holy Spirit, with my eye to who Jesus is and concerned with how do I see him in this relationship. If I do that, yeah, I become more and more human.
Yeah. No, that's excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really love thinking of it that way. And, you know, I'm wondering, as you said, you're learning, we're all learning to be play sharers. Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering if you'd be willing to share with us a real life story of what it's looked like for you along the way to learn to be a play sharer.
Yeah, I could talk about spending time in hospital beds, and I can talk about late night phone calls, and I could talk about you know, times in which I stood up for a group that was underrepresented. But I think those stories can sometimes send the message that play sharing is not an everyday thing. It's not something mm-hmm. that we do from person to person. So I'm going to tell a story that happened just a couple weeks ago. And it's an ordinary encounter, but God made it extraordinary. I was in my house doing some work. I was actually working on a sermon talking about neighbor, so irony, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm working on a message, and I hear a commotion in the front of our house. I look outside, and I see a pickup truck with a flatbed trailer behind it. On the flatbed trailer is a four-wheeler, but the straps that were holding it secure broke, and the four-wheeler went forward, and it was between the flatbed trailer and the pickup truck. Mm-hmm. And this old guy, older distinguished gentleman, he was probably in his 70s, was trying to figure out how to get this four-wheeler that he couldn't lift back on the flatbed. And so I saw it, and I immediately went to go sit down and continue working on my sermon, because I'm like, he'll figure it out. And I'm reading what I'm writing. I'm just like, okay, let me just go and take another look. So I went outside, and I just asked the man if he needed some help, and he said no. We just get to talking, and I asked him about himself, and he asked me questions, and come to find out, he is taking the four-wheeler to go pick up his grandson to take him four-wheeling because his grandson's father, his son, died in a freak accident. He was putting in a patio behind his house and his friend's house, and there was an accident with machinery, and he died. And since then, the grandson was taking it really hard, and he hadn't even gone home, and he was just really struggling with the loss of his dad. And his dad used to take him four-wheeling, and the grandfather, with tears in his eyes, he's crying at this point, is saying, you know, I just wanted to do this for him because it's something mm-hmm. his dad would do. And there's so many things that his dad would do if he were here. And I'm just going to try my best to last as long as I can for him. And just in this incredible conversation. And in that moment, I was able to speak a bit about my experience with God as comforter mm-hmm. and what I have experienced, the comfort that I've experienced, especially with loss. And I share with him some of my experience growing up without a father and how God was there for me. And I told him I'd pray with him. And when we finished that conversation, he just looked in my eyes and just shook my hand and said, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know where to find me. I'm right here. And we kind of left it at that. It was just a brief encounter, right? But in that brief encounter, my desire was to be like Jesus to this man, mm-hmm. right? If Jesus were here, what would he give this man and what would he do? And I believe in that moment, that man felt comforted, right? I believe in that moment, he saw something of Christ. Mm-hmm. I believe that. Not because of anything that I did, but because I believe what God says in his word about when we try to do things like that in his name. And so play sharing in this instance, it was a brief encounter. I might never see him again. Mm-hmm. My desire is to play share with people I know and build long-lasting relationships. But even in that briefest encounter, God can do incredible things.
Yeah.
And I think the key is being open to it, to being intentional, to seek it out, to desire to have that kind of connection with people.
Yeah. And what you said about, you know, play sharing kinds of relationships that you make through that posture can often be long lasting relationships.
Yes.
And relationships that grow with a lot of depth, but sometimes they can be short encounters.
That's
and
right.
Really it's about what are they characterized by? Are
right.
they characterized by who God is and what is he doing in that moment, and how he's inviting us maybe to step into what he's doing.
That's
and
right.
into another's place.
That's right.
And I thank you for sharing that. Honestly, that moment of, oh, let me go sit down, because maybe they're, because I think we do that a lot as humans,
yes,
right?
We do,
like,
yes.
Oh, let me mind my business. You know, that's not my business.
That's right.
But the idea of play sharing that you mentioned is part of it, is this idea of, am I okay if my neighbor is not okay?
That's right.
And I think what Jesus is teaching us is, in Christ, no.
That's right.
Because
right?
we
That's
are
right.
united.
That's right. And we can't play share without being inconvenienced. We cannot play share without being interrupted.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, because naturally I am focused on me and my own agenda and accomplishing my own to-do list and doing my own thing. And so to step into another's place by nature is an interruption to whatever I thought I would be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I really love the Good Samaritan story. The Good Samaritan story, he was on his way someplace else. He gave money that was earmarked for something else. He used oil and wine that was supposed to be for something else, right? He was highly, highly inconvenienced, but that's what it takes to be a neighbor. And so, yeah, I had to step out of my day. I had to stop the work I was doing. I had to go out of my house. I had to talk to this man, right, to be a neighbor. But I gained so much because I saw Jesus moving in that moment,
mm-hmm.
right? And so that became not just an ordinary encounter. It's something that was formative to me. It shaped me.
Mm-hmm.
It changed me. And I think we need to allow play sharing to do that. It's a part of discipleship. It's how we are formed. It's how we are remade into the image of Jesus. And we need to participate and welcome that work.
Yeah. How else have you seen your journey of play sharing impact your daily living?
Yes.
Or how you would like your daily living to look like?
It caused me to pray differently.
Mm.
I now pray just about every day for God to interrupt me.
Mm.
I pray for God to inconvenience me for his purposes. And I do that not because I want God to be like, ha, 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 now I'm gonna zap you, right? That's not who he is, right?
Mm-hmm.
I pray that prayer to remind me to be on the lookout for the moving of the Holy Spirit in my life. So one of the things is that I do strive and I do welcome inconvenience. I welcome the risk too, right? Because when you advocate and stand up for those who our society values least, right? When we stand up for those who are disenfranchised and marginalized, there is a social risk. There is a danger to that. And so being willing to accept that, as well as another shift and change I've had in my life. But I think spiritually, I'm an introvert by nature. I'm powered by being by myself. But I know that in order to become more like Christ, I need to be actively play sharing. And so I intentionally join groups and participate in things that will cause me to come into contact with people, especially people who are not identified Christians, right? I want to put myself out there because I believe the Holy Spirit will work in those situations.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've shifted a lot from thinking of my Christian walk as what can I do for God and what am I doing for God, to how do I be? in this moment, right? Mm. How can I be with the people around me,
yeah.
right? That has major impacts for ministry, because in ministry, I will admit, at one point when I started out, it was, I'm going to do things to people. Mm-hmm. I'm going to bring Jesus to my neighborhood. I'm going to get people saved, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to do things to people, right? And that is a toxic way to think, right? That there's so many things wrong with that. There'll probably be another series on what's wrong with that way of thinking. But instead of that, my posture has been, how do I do things with my neighbors, mm-hmm. right? And not even things that I necessarily lead.
Yeah.
Right? How can I just be part of the life of my community? Mm-hmm. How can I enter into the gathering that's already taking place? So it's not so much even as a church or a congregation or fellowship group saying, what are we going to do for our community? Mm-hmm. And what are the activities we're going to do? That's not what place sharing is. It's how do we be with our community? How do we share place with them?
Mm-hmm. And the places maybe where your neighbors already are.
Yes.
The things that they already enjoy yes. and care about.
Yes.
How can you join them there?
If there are rhythms that are already happening in your community, why are you going to try to set up something else, mm-hmm. right? Why don't you, it's so much more powerful to join in to what's already happening mm-hmm. and be in that place. And that, I think, is a greater witness when they can see us participating in life with the community, where we're not trying to pull the community to us, where we're participating in. Yeah, there's some times where we want to do our own event. That's cool.
Sure.
Yeah. Right? But that should not be the only posture that we have. That should not mm-hmm. be the only thing that we do. We should try our best to join in the life of our neighbors. Mm-hmm.
And even coming back to what you said at the start about how, you know, we start with Jesus, right? And that's what he did, right?
He
stepped
did,
into
yes.
us. He stepped into our life. He stepped into human culture, human yes, experience, yes. and joined us. He wasn't just shouting down from some distant heaven, hey, you down there,
yes.
come join me. And so there is something, I think, that's uniquely holy about what you're describing.
Yes.
Uniquely Christ-like.
And it's just such a beautiful way. He did it without judgment, right? When people were caught red-handed in sin, like the woman who was caught in adultery, his posture wasn't self-righteous and condemning, right? He just started writing in the sand. I wish I knew what he was writing. But he just started writing in the sand, and he caused people to take a look at themselves, and mm-hmm. and he absolved her. He just said, I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more. And man, what would it look like if Christians took that posture in our community instead of trying to call out the things that people are doing wrong? What if we really play shared
yeah.
and listened to our neighbors and called up instead of calling out, just saying, hey, I struggle too. Let's struggle together and let's try to go in this direction, mm-hmm. this good direction together, instead of saying, you need to do this, you need to do that. Having a play-sharing mentality really changes our posture mm-hmm. when we're dealing with our neighbors in a really healthy way.
Yeah, could you know, one of the ways that I like to think about play-sharing is it's, you're sharing life, the good, the bad, and the ugly
yes.
with someone, right?
Yes.
And what I think what you're speaking to is sometimes when we're truly play-sharing, we do step into the bad and the ugly
yes.
as well as sharing the good. Can you talk to us a little bit more about how you maybe have allowed God to prepare you to sit in that bad and the ugly without the you, or it should be this way.
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, and this might be uncomfortable to a lot of folks listening, God had to, and he continues to, tear down my idols. Mm. What I mean by that is I have ideas about God that are not true and not worthy of him. And it plays itself out in how I live and who I choose to be around and mm-hmm. how I interact with people. And what God has to continually do is put me in a situation where I kind of come to the end of my theology, mm. where the things that I believed about God don't serve me as well. I'll give you a great example where I had a very close friend of mine who had brain cancer. He had the tumor removed, but in that process, he lost his sight. He lost his balance. He lost some of his cognitive ability. Mm-hmm. And this guy was a titan. I mean, he was absolutely impressive. And he was reduced to having to rely on others for the basic needs of his life. And I watched him waste away in over the course of 3 years. I started visiting him every day in the nursing home where he stayed, and I tried to pray with him and when he was up for it and share with him some word. He was from Nigeria. I would try to read the Nigerian newspaper to him. I didn't know who the people were, but I would try to read it with feeling. And I just saw him forget himself, forget me, forget lots of things in his life. And watching him go through that, I honestly did not have a place for that in my concept of God when I started out. Mm-hmm. I did not understand why he suffered. And I didn't have a cute little answer. The little Bible quotes that I had did not address what I was experiencing. Mm-hmm. But what did was just sitting there with him, talking with him, praying with him, there was something in that. And I still, to this day, there's lots of the circumstances of his life that I don't understand and why it happened like that. I do know that God is a good God, and I do trust him. But I think part of place sharing is not trying to put such a cute answer and neat resolution to things. Life is not a sitcom. We don't work things out in a half hour, right? It sometimes may take years and a lifetime to understand or to make sense of why human beings go through what they do. Mm-hmm. But I think that's part of the point of why we need to place share, right? We have to wrestle with this theology. We're not supposed to just take our theology and have it nice and neat and pretty and put it up on the shelf. Mm-hmm. We got to road test this thing. We have to take it out and apply it in relationships. And I think it's good when we're stretched, when we're challenged, when we're faced with situations where we can't easily dismiss it or push it aside, because it makes God that much bigger, mm-hmm. right? Am I really going to stand on the word that says God is a good God who is only light, who only does good things, right? When I see so much ugliness, it's a good exercise for Christians to do. At least it was for me.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. And just being able to be in that space is that idea of place sharing. Without, like you said, that nice and
I couldn't do
answer.
I couldn't
there's
do anything.
You can do.
Right? Yeah. There's nothing, you know, when people are, when you're facing situations where people have died, when people are sick, and there's just nothing you could do, right? So that's why, again, we have to stop focusing so much on doing and focusing much more on being. Mm-hmm. How can I be in this moment? How can I be like Jesus in this moment?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think that's an aspect of place sharing that, again, there's something particularly sacred about it, where it's beyond... we reach a place that's beyond ourselves.
Yes.
You know, we reach the end of ourselves and get into that space where in being with the other and Jesus in our midst, we're in a space where only he can do what he does.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And when it's deepened my faith in Christ to know that he's borne all that, right? And he not only went through what I went through and he's feeling what I'm feeling, but he redeemed it all. He made it new, right? He gave me life. He gave me a new humanity so that as I play share, I can do so in the hope that the times when I'm play sharing, when times are bad, because of Jesus, one day those things won't happen anymore. And when I'm celebrating with my neighbor and I'm play sharing in that way, when we're feeling that joy, I can say, because of what Jesus has done, this pales in comparison to what's coming. It's going to be so much better. This is just a preview of what's going to happen.
Yes.
And so he just makes everything more meaningful and deeper.
Amen. Well, I have one more question that I want to ask before we wrap up our time. You've mentioned a couple of times that part of your journey for you has been, you know, kind of discerning what God is doing, joining in what Jesus is doing in your midst, mm-hmm. and discerning the Holy Spirit and following that. So can you speak a little bit to that process of discernment, particularly because, mm-hmm. and I'll say specifically this idea that we've talked about, that, you know, we're not okay unless our neighbor's okay. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of neighbors.
We do.
Right? And
do.
And so what does that look like to discern what our participation mm-hmm. in place sharing looks like in our own midst?
Right.
Circumstance, right. Context, whatever you would call it.
Right. I think it starts with understanding our bad tendencies. We tend to otherize, like I said before, we tend to have a very bad concept of sin, where our sins are just little. The stuff we do is, but other people, no, what you do, oh, I can never forgive that, right? So understand our tendency to do that as one of the reasons why we have to pray for our neighbors. A lot of times Christians will pray for those around them, but they don't pray with the goal and hope of transformation. Mm-hmm. Right, they pray because they've been told that they are to pray, and that's good. And I am so thankful for the people who pray for me. Right, I'm not trying to say anything about that, but I think it's helpful when we begin to pray for others, understanding that we need to be transformed about how we think about our neighbors. Mm-hmm. Right, and asking God to help us to see our neighbors differently. I think it then goes to, we have to start practicing. Right, we have to put ourselves in positions where we can have encounters that lead to place sharing. Like I said, one of the things that I do is I try to join a club or group or something like that that's going to take me into contact with people who are especially not yet Christians, or not, they don't identify as Christians. But also beyond that, there are certain rhythms that could really help us in this. There's a book by Michael Frost called Surprise the World, and he talks about habits of missional people, and a couple of them I think really are helpful. One of them is blessed. That's the first habit, where you every week try to be a blessing to three people, whether it's words of affirmation or tangible, where you intentionally try to bless others. Another one is eat, where you try to have a meal with people every week. And I think these are a couple of the rhythms that are really helpful that will help us as we pray and try to have, ask God to help us have a different perspective on mm-hmm. our neighbors. We have to actually live that out. We have to put ourselves in context, in contact with people so he can actually speak to us about that. And so eating with people, being a blessing with people, after praying for God to show us things and to speak to us about them, is really helpful. And the last thing I would say about that is to not do it alone, right? Mm. We, even as we go to play share with others, let us do so in the church, in the community of the church. Let's hold ourselves accountable and ask each other questions like, I had this relationship with this friend and I'm not sure, right, if I did the right thing. Can you give me some advice? Mm-hmm. Or they're going through the situation. Can you tell me what you would do? Or what do you think Jesus would have me do? I think discernment happens in community. Mm-hmm. And the more that we can see place sharing as an essential part of what it means to be Christian, the more we incorporate it into the ways in which our congregations and our churches operate and function, mm-hmm. I think the more we will collectively look like Christ. Mm.
Yeah, I think that idea of communally, we're becoming place sharers together.
That's right.
Is really critical.
That's right.
Particularly, you know, I think about if you're someone that you mentioned, think about, well, what ways do you have tendencies? And someone like me, I would have the tendency, well, so many neighbors, so many needs. And so where does discernment play the you know, play a critical role in not developing what some people call like a savior complex.
That's right. Right? That's
right. I have so many things that I could care for, so many burdens that I could carry because I'm not okay until my neighbor is okay.
Right.
And so I think for me, that has been where community has come into play too in that discernment process. So yeah, I think that's a really, really critical point, both for, you know, if we need a kick in the butt to become play sharers, or if we need to become more thoughtful about how we are actually being called to play sharers. Community in Christ helps us with that.
It does, it does. Because it reminds us something very important about Jesus. Jesus's ministry was to the Father. It wasn't human need that dictated what Jesus did. What he said was, the things I see the Father do, I do those things. The things I hear from the Father, those are the things I say. Mm-hmm. Right, and there are many times when people gathered around Jesus with true needs, and he would withdraw to commune with the Father, right? And so, yes, there's gonna be so many needs and the depth of need around us, right? But it's not human needs that drives our actions. It's what God tells us, right? It's what we can hear from the Spirit. And having a group to help with that, to discern together, is really helpful. And the church plant that we have a rule, well, not a rule, but a guideline, a goal, where we say never alone. If we're going to do ministry, if we're going to go to an event, or if we're going to even have a meeting with some of our neighbors, we try to do that as a group, because Jesus said that's what shows the world that you are my disciples, the love that you show for one another. So if we're always doing things alone, we can never show the world that we love each other. So we do things together so people can look at us and see the love that we share. And maybe there's something inside them says, hey, I want to go deeper into that. I want that. I want to have that going on in my life.
Yeah, and that's the, you know, the last thing that I'll say to that is, it makes me think we play share with one another within the church as well.
We do.
As we play share.
Yes.
As, you know, outside the walls of the church building and the gathering church community.
That's
so
right.
Thank you so much for sharing with us. I'd love to close us with a word of prayer.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Lord God, we come before you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, just so thankful that you are good. Thankful that you are pleased to be our God, and Jesus, that you would share our place. We thank you for being the perfect and true place sharer, and we ask that you would continue to grow us into more willing and eager and excited, faithful place sharers because of who you are, that we would be compelled to listen to your voice, to see where you're already at work, and to join in where you would call us to. We thank you for those of us, or for those who are watching this video, and praying that you would prepare them for how you would be calling them to live out and put to flesh this idea, this practice, this theology of place sharing. Because, oh man, it's so exciting to participate in your ministry of place sharing. So we thank you, God, for all of these things. And we thank you for who you are, in your holy and precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, folks, for joining us here today. We will see you next time in a more teaching style video rather than an interview that will be titled, How Does Place Sharing Reflect the Ministry of Jesus? And you might even recognize our presenter, Tamar Gray. We'll see you next time.